We went to 1 John 3 last week, and we're going to continue there, but I do want to back up. I told you I may do it. The Lord bless. As the Apostle John was telling us about the love that God has for us and how we are the sons of God now in this world, we don't know what will be when we stand in heaven in immortal glory, because we have no idea of perfect righteousness. Christ is the perfect righteousness of God. His righteousness is imputed to us in this world as we live. We are now the sons of God. One day we shall be made like Him. That means righteous and without any sin at all. And that we shall see Him as He is. And that's a great hope that John is giving to people who were suffering from false doctrine at that time. And he brought us on down to verse 3. Every man that hath this hope, this earnest expectation, we full well expect. And we earnestly contend for the faith and the hope and the knowledge, because we do expect it. Because God has written it on our heart, the knowledge that we have of being with Christ in eternal glory. And every man that hath this hope in himself, because God placed it there by the Spirit of Christ when He gave you life, these people strive to be pure, to turn from sin. It does not mean they are not sinners. We are all sinners. As long as we live in this body of flesh, we shall continue to sin. The flesh itself in existence is sin. And so we fight daily against this. But we strive by God's grace and purpose to walk in pureness as He has told us to do. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. Now you pray for me as we get into this and try to clarify it a little bit plainer possibly. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. This is a plain and simple statement. And I go back to Adam maybe too many times, but when Adam sinned, he became a sinner. And everyone born after him committed sin. We have an inheritance of sin. And in that aspect, every man, woman, and child that's ever conceived in the womb, even before they're born, when they're conceived, is a sinner. I've used this before to explain it. In the law, when a man and woman came together and she conceived, they had to be purified. They had to go through a process of purification under the law because they were sinners. And sin begets sin. So everything that came from man after the fall is sin. But the text here is dealing with living with people and the natural state of nature, which God has left in their own state that we live with in this world while we live here. Look at the riots going on now in this city. That's not about someone who was killed at this point. That is about destruction, hatred, violence, violence. Violence. Remember Genesis 6. The earth was filled with violence. It was corrupt before God. That is our nature. John is making the statement, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. Every sin is against God. Our existence, which is sin, is against God. That's why we needed a Savior. And from there we began to see the eternal purpose of God in Jesus Christ, the election of grace, that God loves those it pleased Him to love, that He has saved them already in Christ to eternity in Christ, and that He saves them daily in the providence of God in Christ. We have nothing but sin and death without Christ. Paul said, I preach Christ and Him crucified. That is all I hope to be able to give you, because that is more than I can do and quite sufficient in the eyes of God. Christ and Him crucified, the Son of God, hanging upon the cross, shedding His blood for His people to save them from their sins. The Son of God redeeming us, buying us back, making us at one with God, atonement. The Son of God who is in heaven forever maketh intercession for the saints. The Son of God that walks with us daily in God's providence in our life, leading us, directing us, and protecting us. Now, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law. Any and every sin, even sins of thought, going back to our fallen existence, even the things which we think in our mind, which are sin, condemn us. Back to Genesis 6, every imagination of man's heart, every single one was sin. It was evil. Every single thought. Man was in a state where every thought that he had was sin. He had no recovery. He had nothing to pay. He could not meet the ransom. He was dead, and furthermore, to make matters worse, in our nature, reveling in sin, hating God. Then you began to see grace, brethren. Then you began to see the election of grace. Then you began to see the choice of God. Then you began to see the blood of the Lamb. Then you began to see sanctification and salvation, which cannot be taken away, because the mighty maker of the world itself, the heavens and the earth, came into this world and redeemed us to God by His blood, by His sacrifice, laying down His life. That brings us to the next point. Sin is the transgression of the law. Any sin is against God's holiness. Who cannot sin? And ye know that He, Jesus Christ, was manifested. The eternal Son of God, who was revealed to Adam and Eve in the garden, where they could see Him, and He walked with them, and spoke with them, and communed with them. The same pre-incarnate Son of God who appeared to Abraham in the heat of the day in the door of the tent with the two angels that were with Him. The same eternal pre-incarnate Son of God who stood before Joshua and said, "I am the captain of the Lord's host." The same Jesus Christ, the same living Word, the same Son of God, was manifested. How did John begin this book? "That which we have seen, which we have heard, and our hands have handled Him." They touched Him. They held Him. They heard Him speak and saw Him with their eye. We today, in the household of faith, see Him by faith, because God has placed it in our heart. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. We have the Spirit, or we would not have faith. Make it simple. We are born of God by God's providence and mercy in Jesus Christ. No other way, or we would not have faith. By which we see. And you know that He, Christ, the Christ of God, the anointed, here's the important part, man in the flesh of God, all man, all God, He was manifested. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. It was not done in secret. This is not a secret kept to be revealed in eternity when we arrive by God's grace. There are some things that will be revealed in eternity. For we shall be known as we are, things we can't see as long as we live in this flesh and our existence is sin. This, the Son of God, was manifested. The knowledge of Jesus Christ, which we preach. Not the church, not the pastor, not any other thing, including any man-made device for the church and the pastor or God-given gifts, but it's all in Jesus Christ. He was manifested. He was made known. They were enabled and made to see Him, to know Him, to walk with Him. He was manifested. Oh, the great joy that we have in the household of faith by the knowledge of the Son of God, while this whole nation is burning cities and burning towns and violence all around us. Here we sit assembled together in the grace of God with peace in our hearts. In who? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because we do have that hope of heaven and immortal glory. We do have that expectation of heaven and immortal glory. Nothing in this short life that we have, this vapor, this mist, can compare to the joy that we will have in eternity with Him. That knowledge is wonderful. And you know that He was manifested. Why was He manifested? To take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. He was manifested. For without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God is a Spirit, the Father. God is a Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The living Word of God, the second eternal person of the eternal Godhead, some call it the Trinity, manifested the work and power of the Godhead to us. And He came this world to show us and to show even Satan and the wicked that He has defeated death, that He has defeated him that had power over death, that is the devil. For He shall save His people from their sins. Man went through here 10 years ago probably trying to say the Lord didn't take away your sins. He saved your sin. Singular, I understand that concept. But why we want to fight over straw men? He shall save His people from their sins, each and every one, past, present, and future, period. And no child of God will ever taste the fire of hell. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins. It is finished. And in Him, the man, the incarnate Son of God, is no sin. John is going to make a great point of this, because what we have within us is the Spirit of Christ. Peter talks in his writings of the Spirit of God, which was in the men of old, and moved them to speak of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit gives us comfort. That is the purpose that God manifests to us in the Holy Spirit. He reveals Scripture. He moves upon men to preach the gospel of God. But you understand this. The Spirit of the second person of the Godhead. What am I telling you? I'll say it the way the Bible does. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Spirit of God is within you. That is why you seek after God. That is why you hunger and thirst after righteousness. It is God in Christ, the Godhead, Christ Jesus. Everything and all things of God are of Him and by Him and for Him, period. And everything of God which will be carried up and taken to join the things of God which are already in the eternal kingdom of God above are in Christ. And He is above all things. God set Him there. And again, do not forget the fact this is the man, Jesus Christ. All man and all God. We are man. He became man for us. And He is within you. It is His work and His purpose and His grace that we know Him and try to please Him. This is doctrine of Bible. This is not teaching of mankind or winds of doctrine. Anything that gives glory to any man is a lie. All glory is to the Son of God. For God hath exalted Him. You know that He's manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. He has never sinned. He has no inherited sin. He cannot sin. It is impossible. Some things God cannot do. He cannot sin. He cannot lie. He cannot die. Now He says, let's make this understood in plain doctrine. Whosoever, Jew or Gentile, abideth in Him, whosoever abides in Christ, who abides in Christ? The children of God. Who are they? All the Father gave Him. All that He died for. That's plain and simple in Scripture. How can we twist that? It cannot be twisted. Whosoever, Jew or Gentile, male or female, young or old, any race, any people, whosoever abideth in Christ sinneth not. I've heard this used. Well, if you sin, you go into hell because you're not abiding in Christ. Then open the door to hell because that's where I'm headed because I am a vile, sinful man. But I have a hope of the knowledge of God, of Jesus Christ. What does that teach me? If you have that hope, it is evidence that you're born of the Spirit of God. We're going to get down in a moment, talk about once again it being plainly clarified that he that doeth righteousness is righteousness. If you love God, God abideth in you. If you love God, then you abide in Christ. So then how can we say that anybody that abides in Christ, even in this body of sin, does not sin? When we know that every thought by our nature is sin, and that we sin willfully, we have sins of commission, sins of omission, our existence is sin. So how can we say that whoever abideth in Him sin not? One way, and I'll agree with this, is that we have an intercessor. I mentioned last week blasphemy. Some people, I remember, and this came to my mind the other day, my uncle and I, who's 6 months younger than I, were walking down about 29th Street and 11th Avenue when I was about 6 or 7 years old. We'd heard all the rough men in our family saying words, taking the Lord's name in vain. We imitated them, which ought to teach us how not to raise children. But we imitated them, and we would say these same things. And we were walking down the street, and I said that word, God forgive me. And my uncle looked at me and said, you're going to go to hell because you just blasphemed God. Let me say this plainly. A child of God will never taste the fire of hell. What is the Holy Spirit and John teaching us here, through John teaching us? Don't give the glory to John. It's the Holy Spirit of God that he was moved by. He's teaching us that, let me say it this way. You cannot blaspheme God, the Holy Spirit. Remember where Jesus said, he that blasphemeth against the Holy Spirit is in danger of hell? You cannot blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. It is impossible. Because you have an intercessor in Christ the Lord. The ungodly do, and it's not just saying a word, thinking a word, our very existence, brethren, is blasphemy to God because we're sinners. Now, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Let's go back to where we were last week. Christ is the seed of God. The Lord told Abraham, "And thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed." Isaac would be born of Sarah, her dead womb, Abraham's dead bowels, unable. Does that teach us how able we are to save ourselves? Unable to produce a child by nature. God worked that. The power of God in Isaac, the child which was born, shall thy seed be called. Paul tells us in the Galatian letter, that's not seeds as many, meaning all the children of God, although they're entailed in this because of the one seed, because they're the body of Christ. But the point I'm making is that one seed that was spoken of, the blessing should come to the Gentiles and to every elect child of God, is in Christ. Whosoever abideth in Him, whosoever God hath brought unto Himself and translated into the kingdom of God, sinneth not. Why? Because they are in Christ, and Christ is in them, and Christ cannot sin. Period. His seed cannot sin. Christ cannot sin. Christ is in them. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He, Christ, is righteous. False doctrine. That's what he's preaching against. Let no man deceive you. Don't let somebody take this from you. Don't be deceived by what some antichrist is teaching you. Maybe a poor, misguided soul that's been taught wrong all his life. Maybe those in the Jewish service in that day. Don't let him deceive you. This is about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Little children, children in the church, disciples. God has many, many sons, but He has very few disciples. These little children are disciples, students of Jesus Christ, who try and strive to walk in discipline. Why? Because Christ is in them, the hope of glory, and learn of Christ and glorify by loving each other, the Son of God. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Do you catch that? Is that not plain and simple? Is that not cut and dried? Is that not penned in black and white? Is it not graven in stone? He that doeth righteousness is righteous. If you have a desire to walk with God, if you do righteousness, Christ is within you. You are born of the Spirit of God. The seed of God is within you. Therefore, that righteousness is within you. It is in Christ. Even as Christ is righteous. He that doeth righteousness, I try to say this as many times as I can. Well, why do you say it so much? Because it needs to be heard. How many winds of doctrine float through the air? Something you've got to do. Something you've got to choose. You can't buy it. You can't do it. Your nature is dead in sin. That's exactly where we all are until God in Christ touches us and gives us life. If we abide in Him, if we seek Him, if we love Him, it's the love of God within us in Christ that causes us to do these things. When did your child begin to love you? When did you begin to love your children? When a child comes forth from his mother's womb and the mother loves it, it comes from her very own body. It belongs to that woman before it ever came into the world, from the moment it was conceived. When does a child begin to love this woman? When he realizes, this is my mother. I came from her. She loves me. She takes care of me. My existence is because of her and in her, or I never would have come into this world. Who is this man? When does he start loving his father? When he realizes for the first time in his life that this is my father, this is my daddy. It's the same with God. When we're in our nature, we cannot know God. We cannot love God when God reveals Himself unto us in the revelation of Jesus Christ and writes His law upon our inward parts, Christ in you, the hope of glory, then we begin to love Him. He that doeth righteousness, well, what about that mean man over there, that hateful one over there? Does he have goodness in him? He fights sin all day like I do and you do. Don't judge a man till you've walked in his boots a while and see what he faces and what goes through his mind. We don't know what's on his mind. We don't know what's going on, but God knows all, and God works His way in heaven and earth. Anyone that has a love of God is born of God and will stand with God in heaven in immortal glory. He that doeth righteousness, we don't have to see it, God does, He is righteous, even as Christ is righteous, because Jesus is within him. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Okay, let me just briefly explain this. He that committeth sin, I commit sin. I watched TV last night, utter things under my breath, that these evil people burning down people's livelihoods. I think evil things. I say evil things. That doesn't make me good. That makes me wrong. That makes me a sinner in the eyes of God, as I am by my nature. What does he say? Every child of God sins. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Better brethren, rightly divide the word of truth. He that committeth sin is of the devil. We're talking about the Spirit of God being implanted within one by the Lord Jesus Christ, and them walking in newness of life, being a new creature. Those that do not have the Spirit of God within them are just as those described in the day of Noah, when God destroyed everything that had the breath of life in it from off the face of the earth, because God hates sin so that much, and He hates violence. The earth was filled with violence. It's not given to them to know God. Those left in their state of nature that God did not choose to please will never to save will never see God. They'll never know God in the way that we do. The devils believe and tremble. Remember that a week or so back. He that committeth sin is of the devil. He that walks in a continuous walk of sin, love of sin, hatred of God, nature of man, and will never be changed, is of the devil. Ephesians 2 tells us we had our walk in that too by our nature. But God, who is rich in His mercy for His great love wherewith He hath loved us, He saved us by His mercy. There are some who do not have that. It's not given to them. They sin. They walk in it continuously. They're of the devil. They're given over to the devil. That doesn't mean they belong to the devil back in the realm of eternity. They were not yet created to be on. God made all things and all things are His. But God suffered them to be delivered unto the devil through sin, because there's going to be a punishment for sin. And God is just as jealous of His wrath and His vengeance as He is His glory and His love. Now, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. From the time he rebelled against God, desiring to be as God, the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, understand that, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. He was made known to us, angels in heaven, devils in hell that are going to punish the lake of fire, because every knee shall bow. He was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. Know of a surety. I hear people say, well, the devil's laughing, the devil's just carrying on with all this meanness and nonsense. God forbid. For he went, Revelation 12, when the Lamb destroyed the serpent on the cross of Calvary, Armageddon. He knew that his days were short. He went to make war with the remnant of the seed of the woman, God's people, the eternal church, which keep the commandment of God. Those who are born of God and come into the church in this world. For this, the purpose of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil knows his days are short. He knows his power over death is destroyed. He knows that one day, very, very soon, the Son of God will appear. And his people will be brought up unto him. He's not stepping his feet in this sin-cursed earth again. His work here is finished. He has no need to. They will be taken up into heaven. That is done. That is finished. It's established. That will be soon. He has destroyed the works of the devil. Every child of God will be with him. And we have the ability to know Christ. He's been manifested unto us by the Spirit of God, and secondary, the first being necessary, life has to precede action by the hearing of the gospel, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever, Jew or Gentile, is born of God, doth not commit sin. I am a sinner, period. I know it daily. I feel it daily. I've got the point. I don't even like to look in the mirror at my face because I'm a sinner. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Same context. Whosoever is born of God, God dwells within them in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. He cannot sin. He is within them and leads them and guides them. Therefore, they do not walk in a continual, everlasting love of sin. As a matter of fact, they hate their sin. They mourn their sin. Godly sorrow leadeth thee to repentance. And that's all the work of God in Christ when He reveals Himself to us and causes us to take up our cross and follow Him daily. Yes, we sin. We live in a body of sin, but we don't do it continually. God is within us. He steers us. He guides us. He loves us. He may suffer us to fall, but He'll pick us up in one way or another. It may be at death and eternal deliverance, but He picks us up. He does not leave us nor forsake us. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. They don't walk in a perpetual state of sin. For His seed, Jesus Christ, remaineth in him. Can you drive God away? What a foolish notion. Christ is there. He is in you while you live in this world. When your body is laid down, He's within you as you go back to heaven. He's there in you in heaven in immortal glory. When the body is raised up, He will be in you. Why? How can I guarantee that? We are the body of Christ. The Spirit of God dwells within the body of Christ. Whosoever born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, walk in a perpetual state of sin, not being able to turn from it, because he is born of God. How much has John 3:16 been manipulated? For God sent not his Son in the world. I can't quote it. I'm not able. I'd have to look at it. I'm not taking the time to turn over there, but they take it and say that you have to believe and you have to make yourself believe when you're dead and don't have the power to do anything. For God sent not His Son in the world, condemn the world, but that through Him all which believe, you see, you got to be born again. You got to be born again. Yes, you got to be born again. Did you have any choice of being born of your mom and dad? No. Do you have any choice of being born of God? No. It's the power and the providence of God upon His children in Christ. He is born of God. In this, the children, each and every one, of God are manifest. They are made known. They are revealed. Other children of God see them. Jesus, Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men. Let your light, what is our light? Christ is our light that lights the heart of men. He is our life. John 1. Let your light so shine. In this, the children of God are manifest. To a child of God who has walked in this world in the nature of man, still in depravity, still not knowing God, still hating God, still in rebellion to the righteous God of heaven. For those that know Him and see Him, what a change. What a change. How this man used to run in excess of riot with us. This man used to love to do all these things we still do. This is a strange thing. Why is he not like this anymore? I grew up wild, and I very truly did. Not getting into the reasons for that, but I'll take the blame myself. When I started being a police officer, I lost a whole lot of my friends. Most of them thought I'd be in prison, not putting people there. When God moved upon me in 93, 94 to come back to church that I'd abandoned right here, sitting on a back row, and moved upon me within a year's time to be preaching the gospel, hopefully, I lost the rest of my friends. What's happened to this man? And you know what? I didn't need him. What's happened to this man? What's wrong with him? In this, the children of God are manifest. God is glorified in taking you, Ephesians 1, about verse 5, 6, from the nature of Adam and bringing you in through adoption into the nature of Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, because of Him, you're changed. You're brought forth as new creatures in Christ. Don't forget, in Christ. Everything is in Christ. Give the glory to Jesus Christ. In this are manifest, the children of God are manifest. They've made known the love they have for each other, the love of God, the love of righteousness. They're manifest. They're made known. God shows forth Christ through them. They magnify Christ in their body. And God is glorified. And all this amounts to John 15, the love of God within us, that we love God first and foremost and love each other as Christ loved us. He's talking about loving brethren, other children in Christ. Because there were divisions, there were false prophets. That's what lies do. They cause division. They cause arguing, fighting. That's what lies do. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Judge the tree by the fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and an evil tree cannot bring forth, as the Scripture says, not evil but corrupt fruit. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. I don't have the authority nor the right to know who is God's and who is not. That's none of my business. My job is to try and strive to preach the gospel to the children of God that He loves. Very few disciples, as I have said. But God does know. We'll get into that a little further down. I meant to today, but I'm not going to be able to. There are people, as I just said, with my experience, who walk in roughness and hatred and sin today. I'll take one in Islam. God has a people among Islam because God has a people in every people and every tongue. There may be one that has lived in hatred of God and Christ, thinking they love God but not knowing Christ, who have done terrible things and worship idols and the pedophile prophet Muhammad. But when God touches him, we may have judged him an evil sinner bound to hell. I don't have the right to know that. That is in God's hand because his people are graven in his hand. But I'll tell you this. When God does touch him, he will have repentance of some sort. Of some sort. And he will mourn. And he will stand with Christ in glory. In this the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. One who walks in perpetual sin and cannot turn is not of God. Neither he that loveth now is not his brother. We're going to get into Cain and Abel. He is talking about two brothers in the flesh. But he is going to use this, the Holy Spirit, to make example of brethren. And again, that's brother and sister. God made man, male and female, both together in the church, in the kingdom of God, especially in the church. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning of creation, that we should love one another. Adam loved Eve, and Eve loved Adam in perfection until he sinned, because God made it good and upright. Cain slew his brother. I do believe Scripture teaches us. I'm not going to debate over how many children they had, but I believe Cain and Abel were the first two. The Scripture leads me that way. Prove me wrong, I repent of it, but that's what I find in the Bible. That we should love one another from the beginning. Not as Cain. He makes a point. He's making a point of two people, two sons. He's making a point of the children of God and those that walk in perpetual sin and cannot turn. Not as Cain. Now I'm going to give you this as a side note. It really doesn't make any difference because it's Jewish tradition. But the Jews believed Cain later repented. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Jews were big on their works and what they could do. Sound like religion today? The Bible doesn't say Cain repented, okay? Matter of fact, God destroyed the earth much so because of the children of Cain. Remember going through that? How the children of and the generation of Noah that were of Abel, his descendants, showing us good and evil, had begun to mingle with the seed of Cain, and how violence filled the earth. Not as Cain, just a side point, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one that is plain cut and dried. This is one person I can tell you is not a child of God, because God, by his Holy Spirit, reveals it unto us in Scripture. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. The time came to bring an offering to the Lord. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground which he produced. Which he had made, which he had worked. It's hard to plant a garden. Noah was not yet here, so the plow was not yet invented. They had to break it with their hands or sticks or what, I do not know. Hard to make a garden. Why are my works not accepted? I've sweated and toiled my hands day after day after day to bring you this stuff I got left over. Abel was the keeper of the sheep. I love to keep livestock. That's a fun job. I love to work with any type of them. It's not a hard job at all. At times it's tedious, but it's a pleasant to keep horses and cows and that sort of thing. Abel brought his offering, which in the eyes of the flesh was not near as hard as what Cain's was. What's the Bible say? And the Lord had respect unto Abel. There's the key. And then to his offering. And unto Cain and to his offering he had not. Why did God have respect unto Abel? Because Abel, plainly manifested, was God's child. chosen of Christ before the foundation of the world in Christ. Cain was not. Well, God was mean to Cain. No. Cain came from Adam, who rebelled against God. We're all guilty and deserve the lake of fire. God was very merciful, and in the election of grace in Jesus Christ had Cain engraved on the palm of his hand. Cain just left right where he's at in the nature of Adam. God didn't do anything to make him that way. That all came through man. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, because his works were evil. He had no way to turn from his evil. He walked in perpetual sin and love of it. And his brothers were righteous. The Spirit of God was within him. God had turned him and made him walk in righteousness in Jesus Christ. Cut dried, period. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Boy, howdy. Lord, help me. Help me. I've had thoughts about this. Cain hated Abel because his works were evil and Abel's works were righteous. Now, I'm going to use this riot for an example. And I don't know, I'm sure there's people up there rioting that are God's children. I don't have the ability nor the authority to try to judge that, and I'm not about to. I'm just going to make a point, physical to show spiritual. All that rioting is doing nothing. Now, and the man that was killed was highly mistreated. And the man that killed him, had he been in Birmingham, we'd have pulled him off of him, I can tell you that. And shook him. Said, look what you fixed to get in trouble. But all that neither here nor there. That man's dead. They hate. They're up there burning down cities and burning down buildings and destroying people's livelihoods and hurting people. This has nothing to do with that dead man. This has to do with people that hate good, people that hate righteousness, people that at least in this point of their life, maybe not being quickened of God, hate God. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. I have had this verse on my mind for a week. If I can find it, I will read it. 1 Peter 4, I believe, speaking of those which, here it is, verse 4. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. They speak evil of God's people. I listened to CNN just a few minutes out of curiosity last night. Police was coming out in me. They're encouraging people to stand behind these people that are destroying cities. That's evil. They speak evil of you because you stand for righteousness. They don't know God, at least at this point in their life. They hate righteousness. They hate good. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. They hated Christ. I'm talking about his own people in the flesh, Jews, being taught since the time the scripture was written of a coming Messiah, when God told Eve that she would bring forth a seed which would be the Lamb of God and pay for the sins of God's people and crush Satan's head. Killed a snake yesterday. Took a shovel. Flattened its head. Cut its head off. I hate snakes. Rachel says, that's not poisonous. And I don't care. I hate snakes. Genesis 3. Christ was prophesied in that. Marvel not. Who's he talking to? My brethren. Children of God. People who love righteousness. People who do righteousness. People with whom the Son of God dwells, and the Jews hated him, his own people. They received him not. Very same religious leaders. Ye are not my sheep. You hear not my voice because ye are not my sheep. They were not enabled. They was not given unto those people among the nation of Israel that he was speaking to know God. They were not his. They hated him because he made himself God. They hate you because of him, because Christ is in you. Marvel not if the world hates you. And I'm out of time, so I'm going to close that. I'll give you another police. Back in the 90s when Artie Dorks was chief, we had a riot down in Gate City, and they were pelting us, trying to, with rocks and bottles and such things. You learn to control your anger because you're trained that way, and that's neither here nor there, but making a point of marvel not if the world hates you. We were hated. And I'm sitting there as you do it, or standing there as you do, and you sometimes you think to yourself, why am I here? Why am I doing this? What's the point? Why do I endure this? Why do we endure what we do? Because as we stand for God and love God and love the church, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, as we love each other, as we love righteousness and being hated and condemned in this world, it is a joy. It is a privilege to be persecuted and hated for the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, by whom all things were created, and laid the glory of the Godhead aside to come into this world. Where do we start? 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, to suffer for Him who loved us so very much. Marvel not if the world hates you.